Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. All you got to do is head over to freetalklive.com, and you can enjoy the features we have for you there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. And joining you here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. We got stuff to talk about in a variety of different subjects, as usual here tonight. Coming up, the SEC and their latest attack. New week, new attack on some aspect of the cryptocurrency industry.
Well, everyone needs a hobby, right? And this seems to be the SEC's hobby.
Well, this is their job. Their job is they get paid. You don't get paid to do your hobby, right?
Okay, fair.
You get paid to do a job, and their job is to, right now, it seems to be destroy the cryptocurrency industry. As, you know, decimate it as much as possible. They can't ban it, but they can make it really, really uncomfortable to be in that business.
But, I mean, I guess in theory they could ban it, but they probably don't have the constitutional authority to get away with banning it.
Yeah, and it would probably be overturned.
It would probably get more, like, people talking about it. Like, did you know that they made this bill, but people who aren't in crypto don't even hear about these SEC things?
Yeah, Americans don't like it when things are banned outright. Like, even TikTok, you know, they've spent years working up, you know, fear and FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. About TikTok and this allegation that is somehow owned by the Chinese government. And even then, Americans are still resistant to the idea of banning TikTok.
Speaking of TikTok, that was in the news this weekend, as a matter of fact, as Montanan lawmakers voted to completely ban TikTok in the state.
How does that work?
Now, I suspect the ban is on the platforms, right? Because the odds that they're going to target individuals for having TikTok or using TikTok seems to be pretty low.
That's absolutely disgusting, though. It is your right as a human being to use this app if you want to use it.
You would think. And again, maybe this is going to get overturned, but also at the same time, we know at the national level they're proposing something that's even worse, which is the Restrict Act. Which I think you guys talked about on a recent episode on Wednesday night, if I recall correctly.
Which I'm just surprised they're not calling it the Free and Open Internet Act, you know?
Yeah, it's like the first time that they've ever actually been, honest with the acronym that they're using.
Well, I think that the idea is supposed to be like, we're restricting bad things. Yeah, China and hackers, I don't know.
No, the only thing they're restricting is your rights.
That's correct.
Your right to express yourself and to consume the content that you enjoy and love.
Correct. By the way, I don't think we said who we are. It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. And we did.
We did? All right. Yeah. Thank you.
No worries.
I'm glad someone's paying attention. So, Montana, according to CBS News, has become the first state, as of last week, to pass legislation banning TikTok on all personal devices, sending the legislation to Governor Greg Gianforte prohibiting TikTok from operating within state lines and barring app stores from offering TikTok for download.
Okay.
That seems like the way that they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I see how they could do the latter, but, I mean, TikTok doesn't operate in Montana, so, like, that's meaningless.
Well, maybe they would be required to block Montana and IP addresses from being able to use their
TikTok
system.
Would?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I guess TikTok does have a U.S. Subsidiary, right? So they're a Chinese company, but they have a U.S. version of themselves in order to be legal or something. I don't know how that works, but kind of like in the same way that Binance, the international Bitcoin exchange, has a Binance.us exchange. But that said, they're still targeting the international Bitcoin exchange with a lawsuit from the CFTC, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know what it really matters, whether you have a U.S. affiliate or not.
Which U.S. state is it that's relatively free toward cryptocurrency that has, like,
Wyoming.
Okay, never mind. I confuse it with Montana because they're both like Midwesterns. Midwestern.
Next door neighbors, aren't they?
Yeah. It seems like they would be. Yeah.
The legislation marks the furthest step yet by a state government to restrict TikTok over perceived security concerns and comes as some federal lawmakers have called for a national ban of TikTok. Lawmakers in Montana's House voted 54-43 to give final approval to the bill. Oh, apparently the governor hasn't signed it.
Maybe he'll veto it. I don't have much faith in, you know, the U.S. political system, but I will say that I like governors having the ability to veto legislation.
Yeah, when they actually do it.
Right, because most legislation should be vetoed. I can think of very few laws that I'm like, you know what, that's a good law.
Right. Well, the only laws that are good are the ones that abolish the other ones, right? The ones that overturn the bad ones.
But banning TikTok. Go ahead.
When does he get to look at vetoing it?
I don't know. It's going to be on his desk shortly, I presume, if not already. The legislation specifically names TikTok as the target of the bill and outlines potential penalties of $10,000 per violation per day that would apply to any app store in addition to have found violating the law. Individual users of TikTok would not be penalized for accessing TikTok. Well, that's good because you'd probably be putting one-third of your state in prison.
Yep.
Okay. So they know they can't do that.
This reminds me of, like, banning the Beatles music back in the 60s or something because they're bringing that commie rock and roll into America and we have to stop that.
Music.
I don't know. Did they even think about doing that back then?
I don't know. There probably was. I mean, there was those Beatles album burns.
I think it was mostly just churches. Like parents and Karens.
Churches or whatever.
Definitely like whole churches and...
But Led Zeppelin was also, they were very against Led Zeppelin as well for being demonic devil worshippers or whatever.
But I think the point you're making here is that the popularity level is like on the level of the Beatles, right? Like the big, because these
days. I was actually just thinking about how it feels like a bunch of old geriatric boomers going, these kids and their social media platforms, we're banning those. They can use Facebook, though.
Right, but think about how insanely popular the Beatles were back then. I mean, there weren't as many bands as there are now. There weren't as many different genres of music as there are now. I don't think you can ever have a Beatles ever again. There can never be, like, the one band to dominate them all.
Yeah, because for one thing, it's like there's too many genres.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Music has become too subdivided amongst categories and fandoms and things like that. So
I think I'll agree with that. And, like, Gone with the Wind was a movie of the same caliber back in the day.
Yes. So my point here is that, you know, TikTok, what is it, like, a third of Americans or so? It's an insane number. I don't know what
that
the number
low.
Is, but it's a large number of people. TikTok became, I don't know if it still is, but I think it was like within the last year or two, TikTok became the number one website online. It defeated Google.
That's insane. I've never used the website. Yes, I did. I did go there to upload a video.
Maybe they count the app.
I never have.
Maybe they count the app as well amongst how they do that. Get those numbers. I'm not sure. But like what they found was that Generation Z, maybe some of the millennials, they're using TikTok as their search engine.
So wow, that's crazy.
So when they're looking for some information or whatever, they just search TikTok.
I guess I would do that for some things. Like if I wanted to find out if a certain makeup product was good, I'd probably look on TikTok or YouTube before Google. But I wouldn't like Google, like, can you store an onion in the fridge on TikTok? So that's crazy. That's weird.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that you'd get a good result as good as Google.
But this is the equivalent, to me, I think my interpretation of what you were saying, even though it wasn't your intention, was that this would be like banning the Beatles, in that the Beatles were super popular, and the government is saying to the people that elected them that they shouldn't be able to use this thing that they love to use.
I know, it's actually really sad for people in Montana. I'm just thinking of like people in Montana who happen to like TikTok, like either just using it to watch things or actually uploading things or just going to have to either move or stop their hobby.
Maybe use a VPN. That might be a way around this to continue using TikTok. But for those people that don't know what a VPN is or they don't want to pay for it or understand how to use it, I mean, it's not the most complicated thing in the world, but it's an extra layer of complexity added to your internet experience.
You should learn how to use a VPN anyway, though.
You should. But what's going to happen to those people is The TikTok app is going to continue to be on their device. It's not going to, just by telling the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store that they cannot allow Montanans to use or to download the app, will not delete the app from people's phones. So the app will continue to be wherever it is installed. However, anyone who gets a new phone is not going to be able to download the app fresh.
Or if it, like, updates it.
Not through the Google Play Store or whatever, but it's key to know, as my understanding of this law, and I'm not a legal expert, and I'm not even a Montana resident, so take all this with a grain of salt, is that the people out there in Montana who are using TikTok and installing TikTok and updating TikTok won't be violating the law.
It sounds like although Google, no updates will likely ever come out ever again.
Right, unless they update Montanans directly from TikTok.com or through an online browser or whatever.
Which also, are they going to ban TikTok.com as well? Are they going to order all internet service providers to block access to a particular website, which would be pretty unheard of?
This is sounding so hard to implement that it just sounds like it makes me think that the governor is going to veto it. Unless it's like really popular and he thinks it'll get him reelected or something.
I don't know how hard it would be to necessarily implement. Like, New Hampshire only has maybe a dozen total internet service providers. And it would be relatively easy for the government to say, hey, you have to ban these domains.
What if they just say, okay, I'm leaving Montana?
Well, that would solve the problem, at least for the moment, until the federal government takes up this particular mantle with the Restrict
Act. Yeah, well, that's a whole different...
See, this is why it was against the Ukrainian government, you know, being not free, but prohibiting Russia Today and other countries in the European Union, prohibiting Russia Today from being searchable by their residents, by their citizens. Because that's just the first step of this. If you justify it in one scenario because, oh, Russia's bad and we have to stop people from reading Russian propaganda, then it's a very small step to TikTok, to Google, to YouTube, to whatever platform they want to use to control what information you have access to. And that's
very scary.
Terrifying.
For the supposed land of the free, the supposed freedom of speech here in the United States. Let's go to Crichton. He's on the line in Kentucky. Crichton, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I wanted to talk about something else that has come up on this show before.
Yeah.
And something occurred to me. The city being built in Saudi Arabia called The Line.
I've heard about this. Can you describe what this is for listeners who have never heard of it, which is probably most people?
The Line is a pet project of Prince Salman of Saudi Arabia that creates a deliberately artificial city that is 500 meters wide, 500 meters tall, and arbitrarily long. I believe that they're planning on 170 kilometers long, but and that's not the important part.
Okay.
The important part is that the city is straight and it's built between two massive walls, 500 meters apart and 500 meters tall. And the outside of these walls are supposed to be mirrored to deflect the horrible sun of the desert. But it occurred to me just the other day, and I looked it up and verified it, that the design constraints of inside this, the line to create the urban environments inside the line are remarkably similar to the same design constraints one would have if one was trying to design inside of a Stanford Torus.
A what?
One of the standard space station designs.
A Stanford what?
Torus.
Torus?
Torus.
I don't know what that
Why?
Is.
Why? What's the importance of that?
The importance of that is that I believe that this is an experiment, a grand social experiment to see what would happen to people.
Isn't the prince upfront about it being an experiment? Like, didn't you lead off with this as an experiment by the prince?
It's an experiment by the prince, but he doesn't really talk about it being necessarily a prelude to space travel.
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly that's what people want in the long run. I think there's a large number of people that would be interested in living in space. I don't think there's anything devious about this. My understanding of the line concept, not having looked deeply into it, but I did watch a video on it sometime last year, you know, like a promo video where they were explaining it. And did it say how tall the city was supposed to be?
Yeah, it's 500 meters tall. at 500 meters wide.
500 meters, that's what, like 1,500 feet tall,
yes.
roughly? Okay. I don't know what your typical building height is, but my understanding of the proposal here was that this was supposed to be like one of those, I don't know if the 15-minute city is the right terminology, where supposedly everything you need would be within like a short walk from your house. So like the city's intended to be very vertical, very compressed, in that you wouldn't have to go very far to go to the grocery store or something like that.
See, this is the problem with billionaires, man. This dude should just install SimCity on his computer and spend this time playing a video game where he's not hurting anyone, he's not wasting billions of dollars on this nonsense. I know, but it's stupid.
Let him throw the money at it. I mean, is this government funded at all, Crichton?
He's a prince.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Okay, that changes it.
Well, heavily, it's still his money because, you know, he's a Saudi Arabian prince, and they're the ones who own all the oil. So, right?
Well,
they're day traders there.
It's hard to separate Prince Solomon's money and Saudi Arabia's money.
Okay,
they're very intertwined.
It'll be interesting to see where Saudi Arabia is at in, like, 20 years or something, because they've been westernizing on purpose in a way, like in their colleges now, men and women aren't separated in classrooms, and like you can find videos online of people finally being allowed to travel there who weren't allowed to travel there before, like from certain countries. And, you know, the people they talk to are like, oh, Saudi Arabia is so great. I used to live in Canada, and it feels a lot like Canada now, and like we're getting so progressive. I don't know. I think it's interesting to see where they'll be at in like 20 years. They're also doing a different city project. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. I think it starts with a Q, and it's like a big square thing. And it will it'll have 15-minute cities or whatever in it. It'll be a big square that has cities on the top of it or something. I don't remember.
See, just as, I mean, I want to just reiterate that point again. Just install SimCity, man. That's clearly what this guy wants to do.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he does. Maybe he's such a Minecraft fan or Sims fan.
There's a pitch behind this thing as to why it's a good idea. I don't have the bullet points
right now.
Crichton, can you kind of sum up what the advocates are saying for this thing? And are you an advocate of this, or you know, where are you coming from?
Well, I'm kind of an advocate for the idea that that the information gleaned from this project could be applied to space habitat. Mm-hmm. In the sense that these tight design constraints of putting these people living like this in a naturalized urban environment is what it essentially is trying to be. It's an artificially naturalized city is what it is in a straight mm-hmm. line. If we can't do it on Earth and in the harshest environments on Earth, then we certainly can't do it in space either. So if in 20 years this city is thriving, then when we have to put people in space habitats for other purposes, we have an entire population to draw from that are used to that kind of living. But if it completely destroys itself and fails to anarchy, then we know that we can't do it.
Fails to anarchy? I think a lot of us would consider that a success.
A win.
Fails to anarchy in the sense that
chaos,
like we want it.
Well, chaos doesn't mean anarchy. That's just misusing the word anarchy, but that's tangent.
I'm sorry. I misspoke.
It's okay. One thing I do want to say about Saudi Arabia is I got really interested and wanted to go there so bad when my friend went there for his Hajj. I just wanted to go there so bad because it looked so pretty. Mm-hmm. And for one thing, I found out I can't go to Medina because I didn't know you have to be Muslim. But the other thing,
you can go to some places in Saudi Arabia, just not the Muslim holy.
Yeah, that's a really pretty place that I wanted to go. Mm. And the other thing is, my friend who's Pakistani who went there, he told me it was the most racist place he's ever been in his life.
Wow.
It's been heavily westernized as well, as I understand it. Like, they tore down one of the Prophet Muhammad's companions' house and literally erected a McDonald's there instead.
Well,
so, I mean, Mecca, the Holy Land, it's been completely decimated by the chasing of Western culture.
I do have the website here from, I don't know what this is, neom.com. It is promoting the line here, and it calls it the future of urban living, a civilizational revolution that puts humans first, providing an unprecedented urban living experience while preserving the surrounding nature.
I mean, it makes sense, right? If you had the resources available to, like, plan a city from the beginning, because look at the city of Boston. It's a mess of roads going everywhere, and nothing's laid out in a neat, organized way. But if you could plan it from the very beginning to meet everyone's needs, then that would obviously be ideal. If
you can.
Yeah, if you could. But I don't think humans are unfit for that level of...
Well, and see, this is where I disagree with you on this, Aria. I don't think this is just this guy should just play SimCity. I don't like the fact that it's government funded, but you know, it is what it is. And so, people do need to try new things as far as organizing humans. Whether this can be done, whether this can be centrally planned, I tend to not think central planning works very well, but. Experiments need to be need to happen, and I their idea here is no roads, no cars, no emissions. They claim that will run on 100% renewable energy, and 95% of land will be preserved for nature. People's health and well-being will be prioritized over transportation and infrastructure, unlike traditional cities. Only 200 meters wide, but 170 kilometers long, and 500 meters above sea level.
How do they get their water, like drinking water, because they don't have any lakes or rivers?
This shows that it will be backing up against some sort of water body. So perhaps there'll be, I don't know if it's a saltwater body or what, but...
They could also use, like, artesian wells, like they do in Vegas and other deserts.
I presume they... Go ahead, Crichton.
The ocean.
What's that?
One end starts the ocean, so they actually have a port. But the vast majority of that 170 kilometers is open desert.
Mm.
So when they say it's reserved for nature, there's no real nature there. There's just sand.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, Vegas proved that you can take a desert and you can build an incredibly successful city in the middle of nowhere with no real natural resources whatsoever.
And to be honest, I prefer the grid-like Western cities, roads, so much to, like, Manchester, New Hampshire. It's like an accident.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Well, in this case, you wouldn't have roads, according to the story here. Now, you know, whether you would, what you would do if you had to go a distance in this line is not clear, but I guess the intention is that you wouldn't have to.
I mean, what if you also couldn't meet your soulmate, you know, 10 kilometers down because you'd have literally no way to travel them. You're insulated.
There is supposed to be an integrated high-speed rail.
Okay.
I just think it sounds like it'd get boring, like Mark's Island.
The line will eventually accommodate, they say, 9 million people and will be built on a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. This will mean a reduced infrastructure footprint, creating never-before-seen efficiencies in city functions.
And there's also, like, Dubai that, like, they were like, we're going to make these little island finger things, and they're, like, ruining... like the nature there, and it's just falling into the ocean, if you know what I'm talking about.
Crichton, I'm not sure, but Crichton, thank you for the call tonight, and appreciate you bringing this up. And if you can clarify that in a moment, Bonnie, I'd be fine to learn more about that as well. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to comment on this idea of the line, would you move there? This is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. China has been running a secret police station in New York City. Breon Peace is a top federal prosecutor.
These defendants did China's bidding in secret while acting under the direction and control of an MPS official in China.
The facility was used by the Chinese government to track down and intimidate dissidents and activists. Charges have been filed against at least two Chinese suspects in that case. The Defense Department said today there could be more classified documents circulating online. They made the announcement while saying they're still assessing the scope and scale of the original leak of classified documents. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered a comprehensive review of the measures taken to protect classified information. And Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts is now the highest paid player in NFL history. Hurts and the Eagles agreed to a new 5-year deal worth up to $255 million. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open, and you can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Our very own Mark Edge is going to be heading back to Prague this fall.
It sounded like you said Aria and Mark Edge.
No, I don't think Aria is going to be going to this
event. No, I don't either, but
I'm going to assume not.
I think you said our own, but it didn't sound like that.
Nope, it's going to be Mark Edge. He's going back to the Free Cities Conference. He attended that last year. He spoke there last year and will be speaking there again this year. There's going to be representatives from these self-governing territories that are purported to uphold individual rights and freedoms. Projects in the U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be joining the conference to share updates on their progress and explain why you should consider moving to or doing business in a free city. It's going to be happening October 14th and 15th in Prague. It's the Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference. You can use code FTL to save 10% on your tickets. Just visit libertyinourlifetime.org, and you'll find out more there, and you can get registered. Again, that's in Prague, October 15th, 14th and 15th for libertyinourlifetime.org. Use code FTL. Save 10% if you can go.
I like lifetimeliberty.com better. It's just a shorter URL.
Do you have that one?
I don't know. It used to be their URL. It seems like
really?
They changed it. Like last year, it was lifetimeliberty.com. I'm going to shoot Mark a message by, hey, you need to buy this domain again because it was better.
Libertyinourlifetime.org. Check that one out. All right, so we're looking at this line concept that we weren't going to talk about, but phones are open. Anyone can call in and bring up anything. And Crichton had in Kentucky brought this one up, which I was already somewhat familiar with. I don't remember where I saw it. I think somebody just posted the video, like the promo video, on social media and like, oh, what a stupid idea. And I don't know. I don't know if it's a stupid idea. I don't support people being forced to pay for this. I hope they're not going to force people to live in it, because then it'd be like a prison colony. So presumably they're going to...
It's walled in as well, right?
It is.
See, that's where you would lose me. Like, for sure. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the freest place on earth, no thank you, it's a giant prison cell.
That's how I feel about Mark's Island, too. It's like, I don't want to not be able to just be like, I'm going to drive to 100 miles away if I want to.
The issue with Mark's Island isn't necessarily that it's walled. I mean, there may be walls there, but they're very much to protect you from outside cultures. It's that if you leave to go shopping at someplace outside of the walls, then you're in danger.
You're confusing two of Mark's projects.
Oh, okay.
One is the island, which is not walled in any way, shape, or form.
But
yeah,
the island
has nothing on it.
I didn't mean it was literally walled. I just meant like, oh, if this is like
this
the only place
is.
I have, I am going to go crazy.
Right.
And I feel the same way about a walled city.
But just to clarify, Mark's got two things he's doing. He's got his island thing, which is populated on the island. There are other people that live there. It's, you know, it's a beachfront kind of property.
Yeah, but it's an island.
And there's not a large one either. So there's that. And then there's the walled property in the mainland of Honduras, and that one is called Ciudad Morazan. And that is a 100-something acred walled property.
That's the one where when you walk outside the gate, you're in Chaloma, which is the most dangerous place in the world for women.
Correct.
So that's, like, another place I would just never, ever go.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
So anyway.
That's the only place you're going to find one of these governments willing to, like, lease you 100 acres for you to build your little paradise.
Because no one wants to be there otherwise.
Right. It's somewhere where, you know, it's the most dangerous place on earth for women.
So,
welcome.
Back to, you were talking something about, Bonnie, some sort of islands.
They're called the
what?
Palm Islands. And here, let me show you a picture really fast, because you've probably seen this before. Just
no,
like, it looks like a palm tree, but it's just a row of straight fingers coming off an artificial archipelago.
Okay.
The world's first.
And
there's multiple
Dubai?
Of them in Dubai, or United Emirates, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, it says Dubai here. And when you look at them far away, it's kind of cool. It looks like a palm tree stamp or something in the middle of the ocean. Not the middle, coming off of the side of the beach.
And what are on these islands?
But when you look up close, it's just a straight line of, like, cookie-cutter McMansion suburban. And I don't like it. Wow. I don't like that part in general.
So it's residential?
I've heard, yeah, it's residential.
Mm-hmm.
What I've heard is, like, it's bad because they didn't think... They didn't consider some things, so, like, stuff is happening to them, and they can't, like, get the right equipment there to fix things because of the shape.
I mean, it sounds like that's exactly what I would expect, and I would expect similar things to happen in the line. Humans are not good at planning things, and we're certainly not good at expecting adversity and planning for adversity and unexpected things to happen.
It says one of the problems is... The islands have been yet to be completed in some places, abandoned projects, and the sea reclaiming its space. So, like, the sea has been, like, just taking it back in some of them.
Okay.
But it says Dubai is not giving up and is confident that despite the delay, its dream will become a reality. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's a complete failure. I just had heard things about it being a failure.
Well, they're going to keep throwing money at it, regardless. I mean, at least for the foreseeable future. If nothing else,
they have a lot of money.
Sunken cost fallacy.
Same thing with Saudi Arabia. They have lots of money.
Yep. So back to this line thing. They're claiming here that there will be a, quote, ideal climate all year round. Now, remember, this thing's going to be in the desert. So somehow they're going to try to engineer it. And maybe this has to do with the mirrors on the outside of this that are purportedly designed to block some of the sunlight. But I don't think that's going to, like, maybe it'll reduce some of the heat, but it's certainly still going to be hot there. So I'm not sure what exactly their plan is to keep the climate growable. Because the way that this thing is imaged, you can see, like, the artist's rendering of what this is supposed to look like.
Right.
And it's lush. There's a lot of trees in the line. Like, basically... There's a ton of growth of trees in this property.
And trees need sunlight.
Toward the top. So on the top of it, yes. Well, they're going to get plenty of sunlight if they're on the top of the line.
So the people living in the line, they're living in like a giant cube?
It's
not cube-shaped, but I mean, it's a box. They're living inside of a box.
A long rectangular box.
So you don't get any actual sunlight living in this box.
Maybe you'll get some. I don't know. Maybe there will be some sunny areas and some shady areas from the trees.
Did they by chance learn about this model of city planning by Final Fantasy VII?
Why is there something like that?
Yeah, it's called Midgar. It's where the game begins, where you're basically inside one of these cities where there's no sun because you have a giant plate over your head
24/7. Is there a top like that? Because I would absolutely not be able to live without the sun.
That's what it sounds like.
I have no idea.
There may be some windows or something to let it through, but if you do that, then you just end up with like a greenhouse effect going on.
Yeah.
It sounds like a terrible idea. I mean, I would not want to live there based
on what
I'm hearing.
Somebody's pouring money into this, though, and it's open for investment, apparently, as well. I don't know what this Neom company is, but it obviously has something to do with the development of this thing. If you've been following this thing closely and you want to, weigh in, the number is 603-283-6160.
It does look open, thank God, because otherwise that would be absolutely crazy. It looks like it's walled on both sides, but it has no top, at least according to this picture I found right when I typed in
the line.
That's
why there's the trees that are coming out the top of the thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Essentially.
Okay, yeah. So
that's what we were asking. If there's like a ceiling and no sun, that would suck.
No.
It looks like there are. It would function as a ceiling in places, but it's certainly not like straight across all the way. It's more like balconies over your head with trees growing on them, which could be pretty and it could, work, but
I kind of like the mirror.
Speaking of being claustrophobic, though, I could not do it.
Yeah, they're saying this thing is only going to be 200 meters wide.
So weird. So, crazy looking.
600 feet, right?
Two football fields.
Isn't a football field, what is that, 100 meters?
100 yards.
100 yards. Okay. Okay.
Only two football fields. Oh, fields wide.
How many
okay.
meters in a yard?
I don't know. It's
three.
About...
Oh, wait, how many meters in a yard? No, I don't know. 3 feet.
There's like 1.54. No, that's 2.54 centimeters.
Isn't very large. Whatever the hell it is, right? Like that's not.
I mean, they're basically equivalent, right? Obviously, meters and yards aren't the same length, but mentally, you can interchange them, and it's going to be about accurate.
Okay, so 200 meters is like a tenth or a twelfth of a mile. It's not a very long, distance, right?
No, and I can't conceptualize what a twelfth of a mile is anyway. So it's kind of not important, but it's not very big, and I would feel claustrophobic living in this space with a 200-meter-tall wall behind me and a 200, or the wall is 500-meter, I don't remember now.
I think there are a lot of people, though, who are going to want to live in this place. I mean, the way they're pitching it is super environmental-friendly and all that, that's going to hit a lot of people's, it's a sales point for a lot of people. It's definitely an interest for a lot of people out there right now.
What if ships drive right into it because it's like blends in with the water?
I suspect they'll have
lights or
lighthouses or something like that on there.
I mean, that is a realistic problem, though, because back in the day, one of the reasons we lost so many planes at sea was because once you get out there, it's kind of impossible to tell the difference between the ocean and the sky.
That's scary.
They claim that everything will be accessible within a 5-minute walk, and an efficient public transport network will offer an end-to-end journey, meaning you can go from one end of the line all the way to the other end in just 20 minutes.
This means no small businesses.
Oh, no, they're saying this will be very attractive to small businesses.
And then everything can't be available within a 5-minute walk, because if you have that as small businesses, then you have a mom-and-pop store here called Aria Shop that you can't get to with a 5-minute walk from somewhere down on the other side.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're clearly being... It's a sales pitch, right? Like, everything is probably not really accurate.
If you can go from one side to the other in 20 minutes, it's way too small.
But I suspect what they mean by that is you can get food, you can get the things you need to sustain yourself within a 5-minute walk. They say automated services will be powered by artificial intelligence. Amenities in close proximity will mean residents see family and friends often through spontaneous encounters.
What are you supposed to do for work in this place?
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, how do you find work there unless you, like, get money on the internet?
Yeah, you've got to be independently wealthy already. Is this guy Mark? Is this Prince Mark?
It's Prince somebody with a lot of... whoever these guys are, they obviously have a lot of money. And the question is, If you build it, will they come in this particular case? And I guess we're going to find out. I don't know when this thing is expected to be completed. I don't know if they've even begun it yet. This, you know, website has posts from like summertime of 2022. So I think this is still in the investment phase. We may be, you know, another decade or so away from this thing becoming a reality. But
if they ever start it.
Yeah, it's one to keep an eye on. It's definitely an interesting proposal. So the number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160.
Another thing about Dubai, or not Dubai, Saudi Arabia, is they don't have, you're not allowed to have any alcohol.
Ooh, yeah.
Really?
So who's going to want to just move there out from outside of, you know?
Anybody straight edge that cares about not having cars and stuff around. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it will completely fail. In which case, at least I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we were talking about the TikTok ban. I feel like we kind of covered that. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here at 603-283-6160. In other news, Aria, I know you had some financial updates here with a bunch of money leaving the United States economy.
I did. $1 trillion, apparently.
Let's hear about that.
Well, it's leaving the banking system as America risks global economic isolation, according to Hank Paulson, who is the former U.S. Treasury Secretary. He believes panic in the banking sector is not over and that the first recession since 2007 may be inevitable. I can't believe people are still arguing about whether or not a recession is coming or whether or not we're in one. It's crazy.
Okay, well, first of all, even the Federal Reserve chairman apparently admitted that there's a recession on the horizon at this point. So, like,
we're in a recession.
Well, yes, we are, but
they're
admitting it.
Okay.
And they were denying it last year.
So if we're in a recession right now and things are already this bad, imagine how much worse it's going to be when we're in what they call a recession.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In a new interview with the Financial Times, Paulson says depositors appear to have pulled about $1 trillion out of the banking system so far this year, and it's only mid-April. Paulson says that small and regional banks are now focused on protecting their capital and tightening their lending services, which will likely roll the economy over into recession. So they're lending less likely to lend out money, presumably.
And they are lending out less. There's a story I've been sitting on for like the last week here that says U.S. bank lending contracted by the most on record in the last 2 weeks in March. So that's already the case. And that's because of the raised interest rates that the Federal Reserve has been doing. It's just not as attractive to take out a loan right now. If you want to start your own business or invest in the line out in Saudi Arabia or whatever, it's not a good time to get a loan.
No, because you're going to end up paying a higher interest rate to pay back that money. The capital markets shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. Now they're opening, but not to the extent they were. So I think it's pretty likely we'll see a recession if you look at what's happening to credit, he said. And I don't know what most of that actually means. The capital markets shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know what he means.
Yeah, me neither.
Paulson predicts traditional forms of borrowing and lending will shift outside of the regulated banking system, which he believes could spark further uncertainty and potential panic. And this is...
What does that mean? Private loans?
Yeah, this is really sloppy writing from Daily Hodel here, because what does any of that mean? It would be useful to know. I would assume they're referring to the crypto lending stuff that's been going on, the decentralized finance stuff that's been going on.
Well, the government's targeting them now.
Well, of course they are. I mean, they're targeting everything that, you know, they can't control. And amid a bleak economic outlook, Paulson says global economic isolation is now a serious risk for the United States. And this is why I brought this in, because that's a real concern right now.
What does that even mean, though? Global economic isolation.
People are turning away from the U.S. dollar, not wanting the U.S. dollar, not wanting to deal with Americans.
I think that if or when the U.S. dollar loses its status as the reserve currency of the world...
It seems to be doing so.
There's some steps that are being taken in that direction, that's for sure, and we've covered some of those in recent weeks. But when that happens, I don't think that's going to mean that the U.S. will become an isolationist nation. I mean, we still need to trade with people. We still need to buy things from China and wherever else, Pakistan, etc. So,
I don't think the U.S. will intentionally become an isolationist nation by any means, but all the United States has to offer countries like China and Russia is the U.S. dollar. So we
could be customers without the dollar, right? Like you could still.
What do Americans have to trade for these things?
We're still fairly wealthy, all things considered. So if China says we don't want dollars anymore, then you just convert the dollars to yuan or whatever, and then you buy the Chinese products with yuan.
But they don't want the dollars, so why would they trade them into yuan for you?
Somebody will.
Maybe. I think they're right, though, and I could see how it could become sort of an economic isolation, because I don't know if the Chinese are going to want the U.S. dollar. But anyway, the Chinese are arguing that the U.S. is trying to contain them, and the Chinese people definitely believe that. Well, the U.S. government has been saying that for decades. And even if the U.S. government isn't saying it, Americans are absolutely convinced that China can't be allowed to surpass the United States technologically or financially or militarily. So Americans, the statist Americans, are absolutely trying to contain the rise of China. They're putting out to the world and to American CEOs that China is open for business again. That's the Chinese government.
Mm.
If America goes too far in curtailing trade and investment with China, and we go far beyond what our allies and partners want to do, the result will be to isolate the United States. And I don't know if I
think that would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you see the U.S. government pushing back too hard against China, especially if it comes to intervening in Taiwan and that situation, which could become a military conflict, potentially escalating into World War III, then, yeah, you better believe it's going to be economic isolation, because so much of what people in the United States buy comes from China. Whether they want to admit it or not, you know, there's a good chance that a lot of these flag-waving U.S. Made in America people have no idea the extent of the products from which
you mean
are
the ones
from
who
China.
Wave little flags,
made
American flags that are made in China.
Exactly, those people.
This is a dangerous situation. I have a concern that Congress is underestimating the relative power of China, the permanence of China, and China's relationship with so many other countries. And I don't know if I agree with that or not, but Americans in general certainly underestimate the relative power of China and Russia. Americans have this peculiar American superiority mindset. And
yes.
I guess most countries have this to some extent, but with America, it's like...
It's bad.
Yeah, it's...
Ethnocentrism.
Like, whenever I see, well, that's like an ethnicity, right? But I don't know what it is for a nation. But the thing that I think is so weird is whenever you go to like a clothing website or whatever website to buy something and it has this like proudly made in America label, it's like, okay,
clothing
that doesn't
made
make me,
in America?
Yeah, there are things like that. And it's just like, that's weird. It's like saying, I hate the poor people of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
It's not like I would be like, ew, made in Vietnam. It's just people who don't understand economics. They don't understand that, like, every Vietnamese, just as an example, woman making, like, sewing the seams on your shirt isn't there as a slave and probably is really freaking happy to have the job she has, or else she would be doing something else.
She would be likely working on a farm, which is where a lot of people came from, at least certainly in China. This is the case where they were just barely eking out a living farming the land, and then these industrial opportunities came up and they went into the cities and they took these jobs because they are better. They are a step up from the way things were. They're going through the same kind of industrialization that the United States did, you know, 150 years ago or whatever.
I really think that Rich Paul, a.k.a. Nobody, whatever you want to call him, said this best. And I can't remember exactly how he put it, but he pointed out, you know, being poor is a condition like any other condition. And you, when you're looking to cut money, you look to pay people who don't need a lot of money, who are poor. And then you start paying them to do a job, and they stop being poor as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
By hiring these people in Vietnam or Venezuela or wherever to do these jobs, we are liquidating the poor. We are literally lifting people up.
That's right.
Out of poverty. And that, to me, is a good thing.
Yeah, it's good for everybody.
Absolutely. But anyway, back to the issue at hand, where Americans don't seem to want to lift the Chinese people out of poverty. They look at them as inferior to some extent. Like, no, well, they deserve to be poor, because I don't know why they do it.
Well, they think their rationale, because I was arguing about something similar with my dad. He was like saying that it's not always bad to have a, what's the thing called when the government says you can't trade with another country?
Embargo.
Well, that's not...
Sanctions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sanctions. And I was saying it only hurts the people of the country. And he was like, no, if a government is like, China is, like, so bad, you shouldn't do business with them. And I was like, well, you shouldn't do business with the government.
The government.
But
yeah.
Doing business with the people is good. And he finally understood what I was saying. It's
oh,
just
wow.
like there was, like, a block in his mind. He's like, no, you shouldn't support the Chinese. Because basically what he had thought I was saying is, I guess that there used to be something where, like, China was not allowed to be traded with, but we would just give the government money and expect them to dole it out properly. And that sounds like a terrible idea.
That's foreign aid.
Yeah, I would not, support that. But it's just, I think that a lot of people just don't think about these things hard enough.
No, they don't. I think you're right about that. I think people, they hear China, and they don't sort of dissect that between the Chinese government and the Chinese people. And the same thing in, Middle Eastern countries or, you name it, whatever we're talking about. People just sort of roll them all up into one, even though the people of China, many of them, despise the Chinese government. Same thing's true in the United States, right? Like, just because we're here doesn't mean we're agreeing with what evil things the people in Washington, D.C. are doing. The same thing's true. And what percentage of the Chinese people disagree with their government? Well, it's hard to get a hold on that because the government there will probably put
Kill
you
them.
Into a death camp or
yeah.
something.
If you say, I'm not very satisfied with their
right.
rulership.
So, but that's where helping, being able to trade with the people of China helps build those bridges between individuals on these different continents.
But with China being a communist nation, at least in theory, it does muddy the waters a bit, right? Like,
yeah.
I stopped using Wish because even though I'm purchasing stuff from companies in China or whatever, they may very well be working in Xinjiang province where they are being put together by Uyghur Muslim slaves. I guess they will, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. There's no ethical way for me to send money to China by purchasing Chinese stuff and know that I'm not supporting the Uyghur genocide. And that sucks for the people of China, and I don't expect them to do anything about it, because what can they do
about it? If you want to get real picky, then you can't really buy anything from the United States either, because U.S. corporation pays taxes, and that goes to, put people in prison for victimless crimes here.
Or bomb other countries.
So,
the Uyghur genocide, though, it's a bit beyond victimless crime and incarcerations, I think, to at least some extent.
I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
they're taking their organs.
Okay.
There is forced organ harvesting.
Yeah.
But, six of one, half a dozen of the other, right? Like, the American government's evil, too.
There's some story just the other day about a guy who died in a U.S. prison because the cell conditions were filthy.
So they're eaten alive by bugs.
Yeah. We're coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. Hour 2's on the way, by the way.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.